Okay, so, right, we're in the middle of the sugya of Kavod HaBrios, and we are particularly within the specific part of the sugya regarding the exception of mitzvot shel ma'amon. Right, in the Gemara, we read the Shachar V'Tayr last time, which basically, right, brings down drashos in the context of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, which establish, right, one important exception to the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is a zakin ve'ino l'fik foda, which basically establishes that when picking up a particular, or picking up and returning a particular lost object would be a breach of the Zakin's Kavod HaBrios. So in that case, the Zakin's Kavod HaBrios is doche, overrides the mitzvah saseh of a Shabbos Aveda. The Gemara says, oh, isn't that a raya? Kavod HaBrios always beats out mitzvahs d'oraisa. And what's the Gemara's answer? Dov, what's the Gemara's answer? Why is that case different? What is unique about Hashavas Aveda? Exactly. Right. The Gemara says that no, Hashavas Aveda is unique, that it's in the classification of mitzvos shel mamon, and you can't derive a heter by mitzvos shel mamon to mitzvos shel iser. Right? So that's the Gemara's maskana, is that just because you have a heter, just because Kavod HaBrios is doche mitzvah shel mamon, doesn't mean that it's going to be doche a mitzvah shel iser. And the question we're in the middle of developing is, why is that? What is the difference between mitzvah shel mamon and mitzvah shel iser? Why is it that Kavod HaBrios is specifically docha mitzvah shel mamon and not mitzvah shel iser? So we started off discussing in a very labedic fashion, right? The first approach in the sugya was the shita of Rashi. Elnach, would you mind just reading right that? Rashi, do you mask mamona?
Kalmi sura.
Exactly. So what is Rashi saying? What's Rashi's mahalach?
You can't say something that's with an iser with mamon. You explain that it's affecting Hashem and other people. Mm-hmm. It was less chamor than it's, and it's all to Hashem.
Excellent, right? So in short, if you're to summarize, you know, Rashi's mahalach is that the reason why mitzvah shel mamon is different is because Rashi says mitzvah shel mamon are less chamor. Right, because they're less chamor, you therefore can extrapolate to mitzvah shel iser, which are more chamor. And the way we explained it, that Elimelech was hinting to, right, you have to translate this chomer in terms of chil Hashem, right? That's the koveya of the sugya, right? And basically, what Rashi is saying is that although mitzvah shel mamon, there is chil Hashem associated with violating mitzvah shel mamon, but because the chil Hashem is at a lower level than the chil Hashem associated with yisurim, so therefore, Kavod HaBrios can only be docha the lower level chil Hashem of mamon, but cannot be docha the higher chil Hashem of iser. And the way we explained it is that why is it that there is any chil Hashem at all? You're not doing anything to Hashem. You're doing something to your friend. The answer is because the Torah, the Hashem was mitzaveh you, let's say in this case, to return the lost object. So by not returning the lost object, not only are you doing something bein adam l'chaveiro, but also you're also being mechal Hashem Hashem by neglecting that tzivui Hashem. But again, but as Elimelech said, but because it's not just focused on Hashem, it's focused both on Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, so therefore the Chil Hashem is on a lower level, and that lower level Chil Hashem is Nidcheis Bifnei Kavod HaBrios. Yeah.
Why can't we say that Rashi's splitting up the Tashma? He says the first part is because of Zerat HaKatu. Second part, why don't we learn, is Yisum Mamona. I think Rashi is explaining here that Yisum Mamona Ra'afinan is a normal term, like in Shas. Now the question is, how is it Kal? How is it Kal Me Yisua? So, like, you can explain that Kal Me Yisua means that...
Right, so what I'm saying is that it's Kal, therefore less Chul Hashem.
It's not the reason that these stuff should be Patu.
But I think they're two sides of the same coin. I mean, same reason why you can't extrapolate from mamon to iser is also telling you what makes mamon unique. I mean, what makes it unique is because it's kal. But we're trying to explain what Rashi is coming to explain also. What is that? I mean, what is the binyan? I mean, you have to explain it. We're all trying to explain what's the basis of the gzeiras hakasuv. Right, they always try to understand why is it the Gzeiras HaKasuv is how we know it, but what is the teaching us? So Rashi is telling you because it's more kal, and I'm explaining it because there's less chil Hashem. That lower level chil Hashem loses out to Kavod HaBrios.
If you say like that, how does it work with kol makom sheyesh chibur Hashem?
Like we said before, meaning when the drasha says What's the original lashon? Komakom sheishchol Hashem in chokin kabbalah rab. Meaning, any time there's the high level, you have to say, any time there's the high level of chilul
Hashem. Any time there's chilul Hashem, not the high level.
Well,
it doesn't say komakom sheish rak chilul Hashem. It says komakom sheish chilul Hashem, even if I have a little bit.
Okay. I don't think that's mukhrach. I hear what you're saying. I don't think that's mukhrach. I don't want to rehash Rashi too much because that was last year. I just want to make sure that was just a review. But I hear what you're asking. I hear the lashon kol makom. But I think some rishonim are clearly saying, let's say by Sheva Tasa. Do you say there's no chil Hashem there, or is there less chil Hashem by Sheva? We'll get to Sheva Tasa soon. But like there are exceptions in the sugya where it's hard to, meaning in many cases it's not that there's no chil Hashem, that the lower level chil Hashem loses out.
I think that's.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the first mahalach. First mahalach is Rashi that mammon is more calm. Now let's move on to Tosas and Shavuos. So Tosas and Shavuos Laman of Beis has one line in which he explains the difference between mammon and iser, and why is it that Kavod HaBrios is doche a lav shel mammon? Anybody remember that one line?
That Tosas and Shavuos.
What?
It was in Mochalan.
Okay, good. Do you remember the lashon?
That's not the exact words.
Or to paraphrase?
Yeah, that's. It's called because it's able to be mochel.
Okay, good. Right, it's nitan for mechila. Right, the lashon of Tosos and Shavuos Laman of this, Dear Matzal Avoli Surah, when he's coming to paraphrase, coming to explain, why is it that you can't extrapolate the heter of Kavod HaBrios from Mammon to Isser? He says, the Shapir Mishani, shiny Mammon. Mammon is different. The Isyahiv L'Mechila. Because it's Nitan for Mechila. And the big question we have to ask now in the second Mahalach, right? So the second Mahalach of Tosos is saying, what is different about Mammon? Why is it that Kavod HaBrios is Docha a Mitzvah Shal Mammon? Answers Tosos, because Mitzvah Shal Mammon are subject to Mechila. And now the question is, why is it that the potential for Mechila dictates that Kavod HaBrios can beat out a Mitzvah Shel Mammon? Right, anybody have any ideas? Why is it that the fact that Mammon is Nitan for Mechila, first of all, Dov, what does Nitan for Mechila mean? Just, let's say, in the Kavod HaBrios, in the Hashavas Aveda case, who's being Mochel? Or who could be mochel?
The guy whose thing it is, presumably.
Or the Baal Mammon. Or the fact that the Baal Mammon could be mochel and say, I'm mochel on my object, you don't have to return it to me. So the fact that he could be mochel, so therefore Kavod HaBrios is going to dictate that the Zakein doesn't have to return it. So the question is going to be, who here thinks that that Kavod HaBrios is only doche in cases where the Baal Mammon is actually mochel? Anybody think that's the case? Right, so the easiest way to have explained it is that, if in fact Kavod HaBrios is only docha the mitzvah of mammon in the case where the baal mammon is mochel, so then you understand easily, because in that, if the guy is actually mochel, so then there's no iser anymore, right? And once the baal mammon says you don't have to return it to me, so then there's no mitzvah of shavas
aveda. In the case doesn't work because there's no iser that's being pushed off.
Good. What else is there? Why else can we not limit it to such a case? Exactly. Number one, because the lashon of Tosas is nitan l'mechila. Another reason is also just more balabatish. But
know.
What?
We don't know.
Exactly. Thank you, Yudo. You don't know. The Baal Mammon doesn't even know. I mean, then Baal Mammon. How's the Baal Mammon, the person who owns the object, how is he supposed to know whether the zakin is picking it up, found it, or someone else? The Baal Mammon doesn't know. You know who's picking up to be mochel, and we don't know, as you're just saying, we don't know whether he's mochel. So you can't rely the heter in assuming that he's mochel because we have no clue that he's been mochel, right? So the simplest way to say is, the reason why it's not a problem is because the guy was mochel. You can't say that. Number one, the lashon of Tosos is that it's nitan for mechila, that there was actually mechila, and more basic, as you're just saying, is that, right? You can't. We don't know that he's mochel, so you can't be told of the heter just on that. Yeah.
We thought of.
So the guy is in Mechila Shalom Midas,
so since he's
kind of
in that, we assume he would be
Mochel,
and then it's Mechila Shalom Midas.
Okay, but that doesn't apply to general Mammon, also.
Yeah, that's like, it gets into the whole Yehi Shalom Midas,
So that won't work as a reason for it being opinion now still for general amounts.
What?
So also wouldn't work still for right. So you wouldn't have to do it as a general opinion now for mamon. If it's this halacha that really, the whole thing of zaken only works
exactly.
In a case
exactly.
Where it's called
right,
zaken.
Right, you're right. The fact of mechila covers all misses of mamon.
Every case of mamon.
Exactly.
You
go,
you have to
say
that for a first svara too. Meaning, is it really true that in all dinei mamon, that if you're mochami, that the iser is completely makir, that I have no iser at all?
Okay, so basically the idea of mechila that Tosas is referencing is this idea of like, the guy's one way I'm understanding mechila, he's mafkir. Like he's,
when he says mamon, does he even mean cases of nezek?
Well, if you let someone damage, if you say, oh, please.
Please go knock down my house
your computer and you say, it's okay. Like,
No, but the mechila here is before it happens. That's the idea. And if you're mochel beforehand, then obviously there's no problem.
Yes, can I smash your computer? And then the guy, for some reason, I don't know if
that's
the
yes.
Computer.
Have fun. Oh. But now the question we have to ask, and here's the Lamdish question. Okay, so we just established that it's the fact that it's the potential for mechila is what does it. Not the actual mechila, because you don't know that there's mechila. That's not what Tosa seems to be saying. So now the million-dollar question is, so why does the potential of mechila change anything in a case where the mechila didn't take place yet? Now we're talking about a case where mechila didn't actually take place yet. So why is the fact that there's potential for mechila, why all of a sudden does that make mitzvah shel mamon nitches bifnei kavod?
People can assume that there was, and that there was.
No, but we just said you can't assume.
There's other people who see it, and then there will be.
How can we assume that there's mechila? We just said you can't assume that.
You can't assume that everything's there, but it's possible that someone else who's seeing it would assume that the reason he's being doing that he no longer has to do is because. Person who owned it or whatever. That's
okay. Dope saying something very important. You're hitting on the chil Hashem factor. And I'm darshaning your words. Meaning, why does it matter that other people perceive it as that?
There's less chil Hashem.
Exactly. Okay, very very important. Right. Chil Hashem is very. Sorry, right? Okay. Is very, right, very perception oriented. Right. Chil Hashem is all about what other people are going to view. So Dove is saying a very important. Very important yisod. And there's one mahalach too, what Tosas is saying. That the reason why the mere potential for mechila changes things, right, even though we don't know whether the mechila actually took place, but the mere potential mechila takes place, is because in the context of mamon, because of the potential for mechila, you never know whether, let's say, a particular maisa avera is a problem. Like, just by contrast. Let's say in the context of Isser, let's say Ishus Ish, right? There, in the context of Isser, since there's no Mechila, right? No one can be Mochel, their wife to someone else. We don't believe in that, right? So there, the act of a, someone other than the husband being Mezana with the wife, that's that Avera is an objective Maisa Avera. There's no two cents about it. That is always Osir. There's no Mechila. So that is an objective Maisa Avera, and therefore there's Chil Hashem there. But in the context of mamon, there is no objective maisa avera. Well, and just use examples, right? The avera of not returning a lost object. Not returning a lost object is not an objective maisa avera because, for all you know, there could have been mechila here, and if there is mechila, so then it's not an avera not to return the object because the baal mamon, the baal avedu is basically mocha.
That's
so, what?
I'm saying there's probably a yosh on it.
No, I didn't say it. The fact that there could be, I'm saying the potential, the fact that there could be mechila dictates that this isn't an objective maisa avera. Not returning a lost object is not like being mezana and eishes ish. Being mezana and eishes ish, right, an avera in the context of iser, is an objective maisa avera, and there's an objective chil Hashem because that act is always aser. And therefore, in terms of the chil Hashem shebo, there is a chil Hashem with that maisa because that act is always aser. There's no way around it. Masha Enkin in the realm of Mamonos, since all Mamon is Nitan L'Mechila, since the Bailam could have always been Mochel, not that you think he did, but just the very fact that there is a potential for him to be Mochel dictates that when you look at an act and Avera in the context of Mamon, it's not an objective across the board Maisa Avera, because if there were to have been Mechila, that same act is not an avera. So the same act of not returning a lost object is on the same level of chil Hashem as a navera in the realm of Isser. Because in the realm of Isser, Averos are objective Isurim across the board. Mashenkin in the realm of Mamonos, because there's a potential for Mechila that dictates that the same Maisa Avera of not returning a lost object, that itself is not an objective Maisa Avera across the board, because there is a potential for cases where the Bailam was Mochel, and in that case, the same act of not returning a lost object is not an Avera at all. So, so I think, you know, Dov's Mahalach is 100% right, that just the very potential for Mechila in the realm of Mamonos dictates that all Averos of Mamon are on a lower level of Chil Hashem than Averos in the realm of Isser, because they're not across the board because of the potential for Mechila. Yeah.
So just because something could have been, just because it could have not been an Avera, means that the Avera is less bad when it was in
a Metzias,
where it actually was
a Chil Hashem. Okay, but the Chil Hashem Shabbat. Sorry, maybe I didn't stress that enough. Because the Koveya and the Suga is the Chil Hashem triggered by the Avera. And Chil Hashem is very perception-oriented. This comes up whenever all the Sugas that mentioned Chil Hashem is very perception-oriented. So again, from the perception... What?
So for the Noda Behuda.
Okay, the question with the perception is Rabin, Dafka, or even Yechidim? That's the Noda Behuda.
I run and I smash open somebody's window. That's less of a Chil Hashem than if I was eating...
Yeah, because the people say, oh, maybe, for all I know, this person had permission to do that.
If it's all perception,
would be like this. Yeah, we can would be someone come and steal something.
Yeah, because for stealing, maybe he's borrowing. The act of taking someone else's item is all on a case by case basis. Let's say, for example,
right? If someone sees an Aveda falling from someone else. Everyone sees that. He comes and takes it. How's that not a Chil Hashem?
Because you don't know. Maybe the person is Mochel.
Maybe the person is wrapped up.
What?
Maybe he hangs up a sign that said lost object. If it's not a Chil Hashem.
Right?
You can't say what's happening now is not Yisrael, because later it's going to happen.
Shh, one at a time.
Exactly like you showed me.
What?
If everyone sees some Aveda falling from someone, and then a different guy comes and takes it. Of course that's an issue. Of course that's big Chil Hashem. You can't say that's Mechila.
I didn't say there is Mechila. I said the fact that there could be. That's what I was saying.
That's like Yeush.
What?
I don't understand.
No, Yeush makes it mutter. That makes it mutter. I'm not saying in this case is mutter. We're just trying to explain why Tosos thinks that the Chil Hashem is less in the context of Mamon because it's Nital and Mechila. So we're explaining that the fact that there's Nital and Mechila, the fact that there's a potential for Mechila, that makes the Chil Hashem less. Even in the context where there's an Avera, the fact that there could have been Mechila, that's what Tosfos is saying. The fact that there could have been Mechila dictates that even when there is no Mechila, the Chil Hashem is less, because for all you know, there could have been Mechila.
From Yushal Midat, we learn that there's no
Yeah, Yushal Midat is a question whether it was Mutter to take.
Or
whether it belongs to the
Yad.
We're just trying to explain why the Chil Hashem is less. The matir here is the cover of Brios.
Yeah.
The cover of Brios is overriding the Chil Hashem. We're trying to explain why is cover of Brios able to override the Chil Hashem of Mamon, but not the Chil Hashem of Isser. So the answer, according to us, is that the fact that Mamon is Nitan L'Mechila, that makes the Chil Hashem lower.
Basically, it's
matir. No, don't say basically. Basically is taking away all the nuance of what we're trying to explain. That's crude.
It's taking away the semantics.
Well, that,
it goes from like 100% to 95%.
Fine. So you have a...
Okay, so again...
It's not enough, and the
perception is...
The mechila is the last right, the...
No, it's more than that. I know, but that's the point. The fact that there's potential for Mechila. That's what Tosa said. Because you're talking about the sugya of whether it's mutter or not. I'm talking about whether it's the lower level of Chil Hashem. It's a totally different inyan.
If someone grabs an avedah and everyone sees this and a different guy comes and takes it,
it's usher. But we're just saying that Isser is a lower level of Chil Hashem than being Mizan and Asia's
Ish. Why is it a lower level?
Because it's not objective.
Because it's Nitan L'Mechila, because in another case... Because
in a different case, there's going to be less Chil Hashem?
No, because in this case, there could have been also.
A
There could have been, but there's no Chilul Hashem. But there's no Mechila in this case.
It doesn't matter. That's what Tosas is saying.
That's what Tosas
is
saying.
But there's this case that there's no Mechila and Tosas is not Nitalim
Mechila. No. Every case.
But the Maasei Sur of taking an Avedah is taking it.
We're trying to explain how. What is the Chil Hashem of that? In a Chanami, it's Aser. We're trying to explain, but why is the Chil Hashem associated with that Iser lower, on a lower level than the Chil Hashem associated with Isurim? And the answer is, says Tosas, because Nital HaMechila. What's the, who cares about Nital HaMechila? Answer is, because it's Nital HaMechila, so that means that is less of an objective, it's not an objective Ma'asaver, because that same act is mutter in some cases and usher in other cases. So even in the cases where it's usher, it's on a lower level of the Chil Hashem because they're exact same case where it's mutter. Mash Inkin in the realm of Isser, the same mice is usher. Is mice is nus, is mice is nus. There's no way to get around that. That's what Tosas is saying. Okay.
Can't you say that by Devarim Asurim as well? Like by Eshet Ish, maybe.
Don't say it's a get.
What? Maybe there was a get.
But that's a completely different situation.
Maybe
it's
a completely different situation if you're a mocha beforehand.
No, because mocha is...
You can't know if she's mocha. You can't know if she's still married.
Yes, you can.
No, that's...
And they're aging on the get.
Yeah, I mean,
but I see an act.
Maybe he's dead. Maybe he's dead.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
or she's in a.
Okay, it's a good. It's, you know, it's a good question. It's a good question. But there's a fundamental difference between different case. What Tosa is saying is that this is a mechila is a factor which can exist within the case itself. I mean, it's like ish. I mean, let's say she wasn't married. Meaning, there's some factors which completely change the case, and here is a factor which could change, meaning, where the Bailam can change the case just with whatever he wants. Meaning, the fact that he dies, that totally changes the case. It's a complete change. He doesn't control that. Here, with a flip of the switch, he can just change the case into mutter. So, basically, by Mamonos, the same Maisa can easily be changed from a Maisa Isser into a Maisa Heter. And that's what Tosas is saying.
Compare having to get divorced and remarried to having to say my head on mocha.
No, maybe he dies.
No, it's a good question. But you hear what I'm saying? It's the fact. But you hear what I'm saying? Is that the Bailam, right? You hear what I'm saying? That the Bailam of the opportunity is just, it's biado, if you want to say that. Okay, moving on. Okay, I didn't plan on spending so much time on this. Okay, so far we have two mahalchim, right? So far we have two mahalchim in terms of why mamonos are different. Rashi says it's more kal. Tosa says Nitan l'machila. There's more to be said about that, but let's go on for the moment. And then you have the fascinating shita of the Meiri. Anybody remember what the Meiri says? Anybody? First, I have the Meiri. The Lashon is very, very interesting. I have the Lashon. The Meiri says, Shlo Omra Torah Kabeid Achirim B'Kalon Atzmecha. What does that mean, Nadav?
You don't have to give other people kibud if you're going to be damaging yourself. If it's your kavod versus his kavod,
your kavod comes first.
Right.
Okay, good. Right, so the Meiri is basically saying the reason why... Okay, interesting I used that lashon, but okay. The connotations are... whatever. They're the connotations we don't know who's, so we'll have a different reference, a different Gemara. But, yeah, so right, so the Meiri basically has a fascinating shita. He says no. Says the reason why Mammon is different is because you're not mechuyev to give up your personal kavod, your kavod of brios, to be mechabit somebody else. The Meiri has two major assumptions here. Assumption number one is that the mechayev of all mitzvot shel Mammon is the kavod of the other person. Right, that's the way he says it. He says when it comes to the clash between kavod brios and a mitzvah shamamon, it's my kavod versus his kavod. So assumption number one is that the mechayev of mitzvah shamamon is the other person's kavod, such that you can say, and therefore my kavod comes before him. But again, so assumption number one is that the mechayev of a mitzvah shamamon is the other person's kavod. And now the question is, wait a second, didn't we just say when coming to explain the earlier shittos, particularly Rashi, that although it's bein adam lechaveiro, but since Hashem was mitzave, it's also bein adam lemakom, there's also chil Hashem, because it's not just going against the other person's kavod but not returning his lost object, because the Torah was mitzave you. So how can the Meiri say that the mechayev of mitzvah shamamon is the other person's kavod? Isn't there also chil Hashem? Isn't the Torah also mitzave?
In this case, the Torah
Okay, so what's the answer?
When the
Chil Hashem is what?
Because this is permitted and therefore there is no Chil Hashem.
Okay, good. It's going back to the morning stuff. What's the primary Mechayev and what's the secondary Mechayev? Here the Meiri is saying that the primary Mechayev is the other person's Kavod. So that's the primary Mechayev. So therefore, once my Kavod comes before his Kavod, then the Meila, there's no, meaning the mitzvah falls away, and the Meila, there's no Chil Hashem. But for the Meiri, the way the Meiri says it, the way Meiri, you know, conceives of mitzvah shamamon, is that the primary Mechayev is the Bein Adam Lechavero, is the Kavod of your Chaver. And then once that's Mechayev, and then you breach that Chiyev, so then you're also Mechal Hashem Shemayim. Just like, you know, in the morning, right? The primary Mechayev can, the Bracha Rishon, could be the positive mitzvah. And if you violate the positive mitzvah, so then there's also an Isser. But the question, what's primary, what's secondary? So here says the Meiri, the primary Mechayev is the Kavod of the Chaver. And therefore, once my Kavod beats out his Kavod, so then Memela, the primary Mechayev, falls away, and then the Chil Hashem also falls by the wayside as well. So again, the assumption number one of the Meiri is that the primary Mechayev of Bein Adam L'Chaverok is the Bein Adam L'Chavero is the Chaver's Kavod. And then assumption number two is that my Kavod, in a clash between his Kavod and my Kavod comes first. Where do you have a parallel concept of Chayacha Kodman? What's the concept? Yeah, I gave it away, but what's the sugya? So what's the case in Bar Mitzvah? Right, it's Bar Mitzvah, Samach Beis Amid Aleph. Right, exactly. You have enough water for one person. It's either you or him. The psak, famous psak of Reb Kiva is what? Chayacha Kodman. So you have a parallel. When it's a clash between you and someone else, you come first. So too here with the Meiri is saying, when you have a clash between his kavod and your kavod comes first. What? Okay. Okay. Very good. All right. So you have this general concept. So again, so the Meiri is the third mahalak in the sugya. The reason why Mamonos is different is because your kavod beats out his kavod. Again, two hanachos, two assumptions. Hanacha number one is that the primary mechayev is his kavod, and then the Chil Hashem is only a secondary factor. And then assumption number two is that once it's just my kavod versus his kavod, my kavod comes first, along the lines of Chayach
HaKavod. The only problem with losing money is losing kavod?
Good question. But it's not that's the only problem with losing money, is that my responsibility towards returning his object is to be mechabed. Like, it's my responsibility to, I mean, why is it my responsibility to take, meaning, to make sure that he gets his object back? It's like respect for him and respect for his money. So it's not that that's the only problem of losing money, but that's in terms of vis-a-vis my responsibility towards him, it's my kavod for him, and therefore my kavod for myself comes before my kavod towards him. But you're right. It's a mechudesh, you know, formulation that the mechayev of, you know, Bein Adam L'Chavero is the kavod of your friend. You're 100% right. But that's the way the Meiri formulates it. Okay, so Al-Kan is the section on Mitzvah Shalmamon. Again, three mahalchim that we've had about why Mitzvah Shalmamon are different. For Rashi, it's more kal, less Chil Hashem. For Tosas, it's nitam l'chila, which thereby, you know, lessens the Chil Hashem. And then Meiri's factor is that my kavod beats out his kavod. Okay, so now moving on to perhaps the most famous exception in the sugya, which is the exception of Sheval Taisa. So we're going to, when learning this exception of Sheval Taisa, try to broaden our discussion and try to understand the exception of Sheval Taisa to Kavod HaBrios in light of the general heter of Sheval Taisa, which is found in many different areas in Shas. So again, it's always, you know, good if you can have a greater appreciation of a particular din if you understand it in its broader context. But before getting into the details, we're basically going to see, then we're going to mention there are four different areas of halacha where this factor of Sheva Altasa comes up, where this idea that violating an Avera passively, B'Sheva Altaisa, is fundamentally different, / less chamor, than violating the Avera B'Kumba Asei, Aydei Maisa. So we're going to just, you know, map out the four different areas of halacha where this concept comes up, where a An imbo maisa or a sheva al taisa violation of an avera is fundamentally different than a kumva asay slash al yedei maisa violation. We're going to see the four different areas of halacha where this comes up, and then try to understand what is the nature of this heter and the gedder of this heter in all cases. But starting with the first example, is our sugya of kavod abrios. Shmuel, would you mind learning the last tashma on Yud Tes Amud Beis? So what's the context la'achoso? What's the context of the pasuk? A nazir, exactly. The nazir, basically, the pasuk says that he can't be metame even for his sister. Rashi explains the whole question of like why it's like it's like a yisura. There's an extra judgment. There's an extra pasuk. You don't need it. You know this halacha already. So where does it come to teach us? What's the ed chiddush that a nazir? What? Even when what? Exactly right. That he's even supposed to give up the mitzvah saseh of shchita, right, of Karban Pesach and Amilas Beno, that basically his Isser Tumah overrides even those mitzvot saseh. Okay, yeah, moving on. Now there's going to be more to get to us. So, right, so what is this drush establishing? And when it comes to a meis mitzvah, You have to be metame for a meis mitzvah.
And not leave the mitzvah behind. The two mitzvahs of the
exactly, right? So the cover, as the Gemara is understanding, that the cover of brios of the meis mitzvah overrides the mitzvahs d'oraisa of Karban Pesach and Mila. So the Gemara is now going to ask, wait a second. Didn't we earlier say that kavod abrios loses to mitzvahs d'oraisa? So why here in the context of meis mitzvah do you find that kavod abrios in the form of attending to a meis mitzvah, why do we find the kavod abrios of a meis mitzvah overrides these mitzvahs d'oraisa of Mila and Karban Pesach? So, right, ask the Gemara question, Amai. Right, we know the kavod abrios loses to mitzvahs d'oraisa. Answer. It's a drasha. Sound like I'm going to say, what do you mean? Right, make that drasha establish a binyanav, establish a klal that all kavod abrios beats mitzvahs d'oraisa. So what's the Gemara's answer? Why are Mila and Karban Pesach different? Because how are you violating these Yisurim? Oh. So Gemara is saying that kavod abrios is doche, even Yisurim d'oraisa, when the kavod abrios causes you to violate those Yisurim d'oraisa, or those mitzvahs d'oraisa, v'sheval taisa. As the first example of sheval taisa working, right, to allow you to violate an Isser b'sheva al taisa in the context of kavod abrios. So, right, so example number one of sheva al taisa in Shas is our sugya of the b'sheva al taisa. You are allowed to violate Yisurim d'oraisa for kavod abrios. Now moving on to the second example. The second example is quoted by Rashi. Right, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Tzadi. Anybody have the, right, if anybody has the, all right, Gemara in Yevamos Daf Tzadi Amar Aleph, Daniel will hopefully read for us. All right, well, the Gemara is discussing, what's the general topic, Daniel?
It's discussing if you threw blood on...
What's the principle? What the Chachamim have the power to do what?
To uproot something. They have...
You're right. Okay, exactly right. The whole sugya is, where do we find that yesh koach l'chachamim lak or devar min haTorah? How do we know that the chachamim can make a takana which will result in violating or overruling a mitzvah d'oraisa? And the Gemara here is going to discuss a very important exception, that yesh koach l'chachamim lak or devar min haTorah when the akira is only b'shev al-taisa. So, but let's just see the example in Yevamos Tzadi Amar Aleph.
Tashma Adam Shanitma Vizarku Bishogig. Vizarku Bishogig hurts up, the mazid low hurts up.
Okay, so what's
so you threw blood on the Mizbeach, that was Tame. If you did a Bishogig, then it's fine, and if the mazid, it's not.
Yeah,
the Midaraisa, Vitsue Marta, it is okay, Midaraisa, the Tanya Al Amatsa Tits Maratsa, Al Adam Vel Buster Val Chalev.
Right, so we know the Mida Oraisa, even when the dam is tame. It's fine to go ahead with the carbon because the tzitz, the kohen gadol wears, is basically maratza, basically is matir that problem. It's a whole sugya, but basically says that the issue of the dam becoming tame is not a problem. But what did the rabbanon say?
The rabbanon know where it's at. The rabbanon said it's not.
The rabbanon said in the chatzchila you shouldn't go ahead with it when the dam is tame. So the gemara says
kamistakra achilas basar. They're going to be uprooting achilas basar. The uksev achlu atem asher kupar bohem.
Right, so the question is, right, that in the end of the day, right, when the Chachamim say that you shouldn't go ahead with this carbon, right, which is Tameh, they're basically saying, therefore, the Bailam shouldn't eat it. So the Gemara is saying, wait a minute, they're being Ma'akir in Mitzvah de Oraisa, right, because there's a Mitzvah de Oraisa for the Bailam to eat the carbon, and the Chachamim are saying, don't eat it. So they're saying, how can the chum come along and be ma'akir a mitzvah min haTorah? The Gemara answers, because here, right, by saying not to go along with it, you're just passively not eating it. So, right, so the Gemara is establishing that it's a very important principle. The Sheva Taisa, Yish Koach Lacham Lakor Dabar min haTorah. And the Gemara is going to end up saying, once we have this principle, like I told you to read at the end of the Shachar V'Tahar, all the previous questions that the Gemara asked, the Gemara went through a number of different questions. It says, how can it be that the Chacham were able to be Ma'akir or Dabar Min HaTorah? And now we're saying the answer to all those cases is that they're allowed to do it, B'Shev HaTaisa. So here we have this principle. So not only in the context of Kavod HaBrios do we see the Shev HaTaisa as a Heter, but also in the context of Yish Koach Chacham Ma'akir or Dabar Min HaTorah, we find that the Chacham are able to be Ma'akir a mitzvah midoraisa, if that akira will be b'shev altaisa. Michal, was that a hand before? Okay. Oh, and actually, it's very important that Rashi and our sugya, actually, Michal, do you have it? Chaf amar alf. See, dear mouthful b'shev altaisa shiny.
Yeah.
So here, Rashi is going to equate these two cases. He's going to equate the heter shev altaisa of kavod brios with the heter shev altaisa in the context of yesh koach chacham. This equation is going to be important for later in the sugya. I'm reading the beginning of Rashi at least. See v'shev altaisa
shen. Garam rabim hatiru lak or davar Torah mipnei siag, mipnei kavod abriot.
Right, so there are many matters where the chachamim have the heter to be ma'akir in mitzvah midoraisa, either because of siag, right, the sugya in Yevamos, or mipnei kavod abriot, or in this context.
Hecha. De'eino ukar davar b'ma'asei yadayim. Elo yoshev b'mkomo b'davar Torah ne'akar.
Right, so when is it allowed? When? How is the mitzvah going to be violated? Only b'shev altaisa. Right. So Rashi is equating these two contexts. In both cases, you have heterim where your mitzvahs d'oraisa are allowed to be violated, provided the violation will only be mimela, will only be b'shev altaisa. All these examples there are all b'shev altaisa. But they can't tell you to violate the kumva ase. And this is a very important example about lovish klayim. I have to explain. So now back to our sugya. So why is it that the kavod brios does not allow you to wear a klayim? Because he says, what type of violation is that? Exactly. Some reason. Continually wearing the beged is considered kumva aseh. And we're going to have to get back to that. Emmanuel was asking in Seder. It's a bechidish. Like, what do you mean? You're just passively keeping your shirt on. Why is that?
Sounds like the myself putting it on.
Just do that.
Okay. But in the case of the Gemara, it's just in the case, even.
Because at that point, it would be a shame to be altasa.
Yeah, but we're going to get back to this. It's going to be later on in the sugya. We'll get back to this. But Rashi, and really, not really Rashi's fault, the sugya assumes that Levisha's kalayim is kumva aseh, and it's the continued wearing of it, not just the putting it on. And we'll get back to that. But again, so far we've seen this heter of shev altaisa applies by kavod brios, and by the sugya of yesh koach chacham lakor davar min haTorah, and Rashi, and we'll see Tosfos also in Yevamos, equates these two contexts. It's going to be very important. Oh. So now anybody have the Gemara in Makos available? Oh, doesn't have it? Oh. Where is a short Gemara. But what is one of these, which Ptur Malkos overlaps with our sugya? Right, there are a number of
Lav Shema
Maisa. Right, there are a number of different types of different types of lavin, which don't get malchus. There's lavin into glass A, mitzel azaris, mitzel spazin. But the most famous one probably is lav she'im b'maisa. Right, lav she'im b'maisa does not get malchus. This is the Gemara. Comes up in a lot of places, but the place where the Makoros are mentioned for this is Makos, Gemara Makos, Yigimel and Beis. And there the Gemara mentions two Makoros. Anybody remember the two Makoros?
Lasos,
because we're in the context of Malkos, it has the Lashon of a Maisa. And the other one is what? Exactly, it's not Dumya. Exactly, it's not Dumya to Lav to Chasima, right? The Lav to Chasima of Losachsam Shur Bedisho is the paradigm of Malkus, of a Lav Sheish by Malkus, but that works for everything, right? And therefore, anything that's not similar to Lav to Chasima doesn't get Malkus. And one true Malkus, which stems from that, is Lav Sheish B'maisa, right? Since the Chasima is B'maisa, you B'maisa muzzle the animal, so it's only in such a case where the Lav is violated B'maisa, so therefore a Lav Sheish B'maisa, the Gemara says, is not subject to Malkus. Oh, take a question in a second. So this is a third example. Again, this is not a heter like Kavod HaBrios and Yesh Koach L'Chan Lachad Arvah Min HaTorah, but it's another instance where violating an Avera B'Sheish Bal Taisa, or through lack of a Maisa, is considered on a different level than violating the Avera Ali de Maisa through Kumba Ase. So here's another scenario where you see that violating an Avera B'Sheish Bal Taisa is fundamentally different than violating the Kumba Ase. So you saw that by the Heter of Kavod HaBrios, the Heter of Koach HaChacham Lachad Arvah Min HaTorah, and now you see in terms of the Patur Malkus, again, this idea that a passive violation of an Avera is fundamentally different than an active violation of an Avera. Yeah.
So the Makor, I was handling with Akiva about this earlier.
Yeah.
Whether Lo Tachsom, whether the Isser is in the Masa of putting on the muzzle,
mm-hmm.
or if there's the second aspect of Bidisho that only applies once the shor is in the field. In which case, you could say that if you put on the muzzle and then you never go out into the field, that there was no actual
performed. For sure.
Right. So if I were to put on the muzzle and then release my shore into the field,
that's awesome.
Right, but I don't. But it happened through Sheva Altasa. I opened the door to the barn. I left.
But the chassim. I don't want to get too. It's a whole again in Bavitzia. It's actually fascinating in the Pays, I believe. The high Pays, Zayin, Pechas. Comes up there. But there the Gemara discusses, let's say you're chosein the shore, not aide maisa. Let's say you scream. Get to the sugya whether a dibur is considered a maisa or not. What?
That's more.
Yeah, exactly. That's the sugya discusses. Akimas fasav, avi maisa. That's where the sugyas come up. But again, we can look in. I don't want to get too involved in that the lumps of that, or the gather of that particular avera. That's not our sugya, but the maisa bepashas is the chasima, and the bedisho is just the context of where it's problematic to muzzle your shore. Okay, we'll leave it for now. Oh. So again, so far we have right three applications. We have Kavod HaBrios, Yesh Koach LaAkor, and Patur Malkus. But there's also a fourth. Anybody know the fourth Gemara in Sanhedrin? It's not for Karka Olam. So what's the Gemara's Kasha in Sanhedrin Ayin Dalet Amud Beis?
If Esther gives herself in to do an Avera.
Right, because what's the problem the Gemara asks? Farhesia, right? It's a big Shiloh, why it only asks Farhesia, not Gila Raya, it's a whole Sugya there. Gemara says, Esther Farhesia Hava. Why? I mean, we know, right, earlier in the Sugya in Ayin Dalet, the Gemara established that Yehargla Yavor applies to all Averos committed before Hesia. So the question is, Esther, why wasn't she Taharag Val Tavor in the context of, because it was for Hesia? And what's the answer of Abaye?
It's Karka Olam.
Since she didn't do a Mais. So there you have, in a case where you're violating the Avera, but again, it's B'Sheish Bal Taisa. Again, it uses a different Lashon Karka Olam, but it's the same idea, same Yisod. Because it's B'Sheish Bal Taisa, because it's Karka Olam, right? Therefore, the din of Yehareg Vayavor doesn't apply. So again, so there the Gemara discusses it in the context of Farhesya. Many Rishonim, this is Olin Sukkot and Tel, many Rishonim, particularly those who think that the Mechayev of the Gimel of Eros Chamuros is also Chil Hashem, they think that this Heter of Karka Olam is also Heter by the Gimel of Eros Chamuros. What?
Karka Olam is a special thing. Special Musag. It's not...
Special Musag
like
for which?
Like a special...
What do you mean special?
Special Shevet Tase.
Why?
I don't
Why does it seem special?
So we're busy trying to see that all these seem to be similar. Okay, I mean that's a particular. I mean, the Karka Olam is the Gemara's way of explaining how why a woman in the Maisa Bia is Shevat Haisa. That's just the description. But Bikaron, it's just
extended to say that someone pushes you onto another person.
Exactly. Bikaron, it's an idea of Embo Maisa. And even the Lashonos of the Rishon. So again, this idea of a Karka Olam, which the Gemara applies as an exception to the Harla Yavor of Farhesia. Many Rishonim extend it to the Heter by the Gimel of Eros Chamurus, assuming that the Mechayev of Gimel of Eros Chamurus is Chol Hashem and not the Chamurus HaIsra. It's his own Sugyat. But here you have a fourth example where Embo Maisa or Sheva Taisa basically dictates that the Avera, committing the Avera by Sheva Taisa is fundamentally different than committing the Avera by Kum Va'ase. And just important, and just in terms of connecting back to Kavod HaBrios, in the Sugya of Karka Olam, right, especially by Farhesia, right, the Mechayev of Karka, excellent. So it's directly parallel, because there, the idea of Karka Olam is that, oh, don't tell me that she should have given up her life because the Chil Hashem of Farhesia, because Karka Olam neutralizes the Chil Hashem. That's exactly what's going on in our Sugya. So just like there, the factor of Karka Olam, Shevat Taisa, neutralizes or minimizes / mitigates the factor of Chil Hashem, which is the Mechayev of Yehariv Yavor. So to hear, right, what's generally the Mechayev that to not to violate an Avera, even if it's covered up Rios? What's the Mechayev? Chil Hashem. We say, Kol Makom Sheyesh Bo Chil Hashem, and Cholkin Kavod L'Rav. So here too, you have the Mechayev of being Doche, your Kavod HaBrios, is the same factor of Chil Hashem, and Sheva Taisa ends up neutralizing the Chil Hashem. So not only is Kark Olam and Sheva Taisa parallel because they're both Embo Maisa, but in both cases, it's the factor of Sheva Taisa, Embo Maisa, Kark Olam, neutralizing / mitigating the Mechayev of Chil Hashem. Yeah.
So I think, why doesn't Rashi quote this Gemara?
He's not quoting every Gemara.
Good question. Good question. It's a good question. It's a good question. Because of the Chil Hashem connection. Yeah, so we're gonna.
You see, he doesn't care about.
But Makos is a little different because Makos is not Heter. It's for Malkus. But here, so again, yeah, interesting. Is this like the same type of?
Why should Hashem factor?
What?
You can see Rashi saying that Shival Tashashani isn't because of the Chilul Hashem factor.
Oh no! Pashan answer.
The reason he's quoting the Gemara is because there's a bunch of cases there.
Not only that, Pashan answer is that the Lashon of Shival Taisa is the Lashon of Yevamos and here.
It's literally the parallel case.
The two cases where he used the Lashon of Sheva Taisa is in Kavod HaBrios and Yesh Koach La'Akor Davar Mi'Torah. Right, by Pshur Malkos, they call it Embo Maisa, and in Yehariv Yavor, call it Karkolam. Again, we're suggesting that it's all the same idea, but I think Rashi just simply quotes the same exact lashon.
Also, there's a bunch of examples. The way Rashi's quoting, just giving
broad
examples. So, that one specific case is.
Okay, could be. Okay, but now that we have, right, now that we've documented, right, four different areas of halacha where there's the din of Sheva Taisa comes up, Kavod HaBrios, Yesh Koach Chacham La'Akor Davar Mi'Torah, Pshur Malkus, and the Karka Olam for Yehariv Yavor. Now we have to understand, number one, what is the gedder of Sheva Taisa? What exactly does it mean to be passive? So you see what we mean by that. What is the gedder of Sheva Taisa, and which will then impact the nature of the heter of Sheva Taisa. So again, what's the gedder of Sheva Taisa, and then which will directly tell us what's the nature of the heter of Sheva Taisa. So the Rav Chanan, and it happens to be very, you know, comments about this sugya in many places. It's a very nice formulation of two different mahalchim in terms of what the gedder of Sheva Taisa is. So let's just, everyone, if you look at their source sheet, which is going to read on one line in the Kovetz Aras, where he presents this chakira, which we're going to develop now a little bit. Alina, would you mind reading at least the first line? See, this is Kovetz Aras, Simen Samach Tes. Right, so he's coming from the context from the sugya of Yevamos, as Kovetz Aros is a sefer on Yevamos, so that's where he's coming. But he's gonna tie it out into all the other sugyas as well. So again, he says a number of questions to be asked. First question we're gonna deal with now is the following.
Alright,
what's the gedder of active versus passive?
Yes, the parasha of Mishnei Pan. Im adaber taloi megufa iser, im hu kumase o shemel tase, o beofen avira alof.
Okay, so it sounds a little terse and hard to understand. What are the two tzadim? Do you understand it? Did you get to this yet? Okay, right. So as follows. So the first approach is that the din in the gufa iser. Now, Dav, what does that mean?
It's in the chesed iser.
No, better. No, explain it. Nah. What do you mean? It's in the iser itself.
Meaning that the maisa is the problem.
Explain. According to the first tzad, the koveya for whether something is considered active or passive is the nature of the isser which you violated, right? Referring to how did you violate the isser itself, which takes into account the nature of the isser that you violated. Did you violate the isser? Did you commit the isser actively or passively? This might sound very too conceptual, too subtle. The other option, which is by contrast, is not whether you violated the Isser actively or passively, but rather when you were violating the Isser, were you active or were you passive? That chilik might sound like, what in the world is the difference between the cases? It will become clear when we give concrete examples. Again, I'll just say it conceptually and then you'll get it in Lamavraya. The first sad is that the Koveh is the Gufa Isser, is that fundamentally did you violate the Avera actively or passively? The second Mahalach is that we'll call it not the Gufa Isser, but the method of violation. When you were violating the Isser, at the time you were violating the Isser, were you performing an action or were you passive? And we'll give some examples which will make it very, very clear. So again, the first mahalach we're going to develop first is the idea is that the koveya is not whether you were passive at the time of the violation, but whether you violated the iser passively or actively. And the koveya to Aris is going to explain. All right, Rav Chanan is going to explain. That if the koveya is not whether you were active or passive at the time, but whether by the nature of the mitzvah, by the nature of the iser, were you violating the iser actively or passively, because the focus of this first approach is on the Isser itself, says Rav Chanan, Shem Valtaisa versus Kum Vaseh is all about the Chomer of the Isser. Meaning, when you violate the Isser, Ayde Maisa, so then it's a more Chomer violation. If you violate the Isser passively, then it's a less Chomer violation. Again, we'll understand that better once we give concrete examples of this. So now we're going to give examples from these different contexts to spell out, to highlight this first approach, that Bechol Torah Kula, right, that the koveya of Sheva Taisa versus Kum Vaaseh is not whether you happen to be active or passive at the time of the Avera, but whether the Avera itself was violated actively or passively. Anybody see the Rambam in Chagiga, Aleph Aleph, in the context of Olas Re'iyah? So what's the Rambam saying?
Right.
There's a mitzvah, an asay, and a los asay that when you come for aliyah, right, for aliyah l'regel, you have to bring an ola. An ola, it's called the olas re'iyah, right? So there's a mitzvah asay to bring in olas re'iyah when you come to the mikdash, and there's also a lav against not bringing it. Mm-hmm. Says the Rambam, when you come to the mikdash, and you don't bring a karban ola, so does he say you get malchus for that?
No,
why? Because no ma'isa. Wait a second. You walk into the Azara. You physically walk into the Azara, and thereby, right, and you thereby violate the Avera, because you walked into the Azara without bringing your karba. Says the Rambam, it's a lav she'im bo ma'isa, and therefore there's no malchus. So, what comes out of this Rambam? That the koveya for Sheba Taisa is not whether you were doing an action at the time that you violated. Because here, at the time that you violated it through walking into the Azara. That's Kumba Aseh. But says the Rambam, the Koveya for Sheba Taisa, in the context of Malkus that he's talking about, is whether you violated the Isser Bekumba Aseh. But since the nature of the mitzvah at hand is a positive mitzvah, that when you come into the Azara, you are positively mechuyav to bring a karba. So then what was the violation, fundamentally? That you didn't bring a carbon. So for the Rambam, right, since fundamentally, right, in terms of the Gufa Isser, the Avera was that you didn't bring a carbon, so not bringing a carbon, Yuda, is that Kumban Se or Sheva Taisa? Sheva Taisa. Right, not bringing a carbon to Sheva Taisa. This is a perfect case where, right, you are doing an action while you're violating, but the Gufa Isser is Sheva Taisa. Says the Rambam, in such a case, the Gufa Isser is the Koveya, and since in this case the Gufa Isser is not bringing a carbon, it doesn't matter that you were physically walking into the Azara at the time, because the Koveya is the Gufa Isser. So the first Raya, in the context of Malkus, that the Koveya, in the context of Malkus, of Yeshua Maisa versus Ema Maisa, is the Gufa Isser, is this Rambam, famous Rambam, that by Olas Re'iya, walking into the Mikdash, walking into the Azara without bringing a carbon, is Sheva Taisa, because fundamentally, the Mechayev, the Avera, is not having brought the carbon. Oh, Raya number one. Raya number two for this is the Tosos and Shavuos Dav Dalad Amun Aleph, Dir Maschol Aval. Not so much, I don't want to get into the details, but the sugya there in Shavuos is discussing, again, the Petur Malkus of a Lav She'ema Maisa. And the Gemara gives an example of a Shavua, where you take a Shavua that you're going to eat a certain Kikar, and then you don't eat it. So what is that? Sheva Taisa. So basically, the whole back and forth, the Gemara basically tells us, asks, details aren't so important for us, but basically, how do you know that the basis of the Petur is Lav She'ema Maisa? Because maybe there's another Petur Malkus at hand. What's the alternative Petur in that case? What else is lacking? What? No. What's the other thing that you need in order to get Malkus? It needs to be Hasra. So in this case, it's Safek Hasra. I'm not getting into the details. Basically, because there's no point in time where you can tell him, don't do this, because the whole point is that he's just not eating. Right? So Tosa, in order to answer that question, again, the details don't matter. For our purposes, the point is, Tosa says, no, the case which the Gemara calls Lav She'ema Maisa is what? Hints about throwing it in the sea? Says Tosa, the case of Lav She'ema Maisa is where, remember, the person says, I'm going to take a shvua that I'm going to eat, this kikar. And the guy chucks it into the sea. Right? So through chucking it into the sea, you, in essence, are basically ensuring that you will not be able to fulfill the shvua. What? Right? So Tosa says, right, that the case of throwing the kikar into the sea is still a lav she'ema maisa. The question is, what do you mean? By, is throwing it into the sea active?
Yeah, but he's not doing it. He's making it impossible that he will end up filling.
Again, so again, this is another raya. Meaning, if the koveya, we'll see the other option. If the koveya, the second approach is that the koveya is that when you violated or when you insured the, it's good hire. Okay, but in this context, in this case, when you insured that you would not be able to fulfill this shavua. At the time that you were ensuring that you wouldn't be able to fill the shavua, you were doing an Ali Day Maisa. You chucked the kikar into the water. So that was Ali Day Maisa. But Tosa says it's still considered Eimba Maisa, because what is the Gufa Isser? The Gufa Isser is not eating it. See, here again, you see both from the Rambam and in Tosos, that if you understand that the Koveya of Sheva Taisa is not were you active when you violated, but whether the Gufa Isser was violated by Kumvase or Sheva Taisa, then both the Rambam and Tosos makes sense, because in both cases, although you were doing an action when you violated, but since both of them fundamentally were not doing what you're supposed to do, therefore they're both fundamentally Sheva Taisa. So we'll stop here, and then we'll pick up with the Shaikas Aryeh, who also accepts this approach in the context of Kachol Chama.